I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. Mavi just told me he was going to go see Space Jam with LeBron, which I'm concerned about. The Phillies are going to beat the Cubs. They're up 8-0 in the ninth at Wrigley. So the Cubs back to their losing ways. They had lost 11 in a row, and then they won. They turn right around and lose to the Phillies. Reds, Brewers, 3-3 in the eighth. That Nationals-Padres game is a good one at Petco. And it's 8-7 after four innings. And I actually have that game rocking right now in San Diego. I got that game on. And the Padres are down a run. And I think I heard, you know, they were down 7-0 or something in that game. Maybe 8. I don't even know. All I know is they're down. They've come all the way back. And they're down a run. And we'll see. I'll keep an eye on that game. I want to kind of watch it. But the actual game two of the NBA Finals is too good, in my opinion, to give up on. So I'm going to watch it. It's an 8-point game in the fourth. And I just think it's too good to turn on the other game, except in breaks and commercials, timeouts, etc. I did want to mention, Mafia, I cannot believe a couple things. I saw the obviously the news that Fury has COVID and his camp has COVID, like allegedly several people in the camp have COVID. And so, obviously he never got a vaccine. He's got COVID. So, I mean, I guess you can get COVID with the vaccine, but it sounds to me like he never got vaccinated and he's got COVID now and the whole camp's got COVID. So don't tell me they're vaccinated. I don't believe it for 1 minute, but I will say this. The fight's off. They're not fighting on July 24th at T-Mobile in Vegas. That's off. It's not happening. Now they're talking about October. And the other thing, and CP3 with an and one bucket right here, it's a 10-point game, and he gets the foul and going to the line. So I need to ask you, I saw the stare down with Diamond and Connor. And what a day for Conor McGregor. A, he said that he's going to kill him. He's going to kill him. B, said he's a dangerous man right now, very dangerous. He's going to kill him. And then he said that Khabib Nurmagomedov has done absolutely nothing in the UFC.
Besides beat his ass?
Yeah. You said it. I was going to. So you saved me the time. And then, you know, besides kick his ass. And then never lost a fight, unlike McGregor, who loses all the time. And then your boy, then he went out at the stare down with Dustin, and he tried to kick him. Like, he started talking smack, and then he tried to kick him. He literally tried to kick him in the stare down. I got to tell you, I haven't seen that one yet where someone actually tries to kick someone at the stare down. I've seen shoves, talk, shoving, pushing, try to swing at him. I've never seen a guy try to kick someone. Have you?
Not that I can remember. I mean, I've seen guys try to, you know, like you said, shove, swing at him, but I don't think I've ever seen, like, especially not even like a good kick, like a kick towards the legs. I mean, honestly, this is just McGregor trying to get back to what he was by trying to play these head games again, and it's not going to work against Poirier. That worked against Poirier years and years ago, 7-8 years ago. Sure, that worked against Poirier, got him to rush in, and eventually he got dropped. Poirier's smarter than that. He's more mature. He's not an idiot. He's not going to be, oh, well, this guy tried to kick me, so now I want to just try to kill him and walk right into a Conor, you know, left hand. No, he's going to stay back. He's going to pick him apart like he did in the second fight. I expect it to be the same thing because, you know, this just shows me how desperate he is. All these excuses he's making for the last fight, because before the last fight, you heard about how great shape he was, how he's the best he's ever been. This is the best camp he's ever had. He's, you know, training in the Alps with cyclists. And then all of a sudden now, after he lost that fight, it's, oh, well, he wasn't focused. He was thinking about, you know, fighting, you know, Pacquiao in boxing, and it's just, that's why he lost. It's not that he got his ass kicked. No, it's just that he wasn't focused on this fight. Now he is, and he's whatever, the most focused ever been, the best shape he's ever been, blah, blah, blah. All the same crap you hear every fight for him. So I'm not buying it. I'm not believing it, and it's not working on Poirier.
So let me ask you this question. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. And I got to ask you. So, you know, this guy literally said that, you know, he's going to kill him and all this other stuff, and that he's dangerous and all this other. But when he started talking about Nurmagomedov being worthless and that he never did anything in the UFC and he has no career, what is he doing? Like, how embarrassing is it that this guy is talking smack about this guy, Khabib, who beat his ass?
Yeah, and that's all, you know, the mind game stuff again, because now he's trying to lure him back, as he's always tried to do. And you know what? If you're going to tell me that the big problem in the last fight was you weren't focused on Dustin Poirier, then what the hell are you doing talking about Khabib when you got this third fight up? How are you going to tell me you're focused and ready to go when you're still talking about other people?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I got to tell you, when we come back, we'll see what he thinks, Mafia, about Fury. They've canceled that fight. It's over. They're not fighting till October. So you can forget about July 24th. I'm going on my vacation clean on the 23rd.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so Mafia, they have the presser, and why do they have this guy, Ocho Fuerelico, just continues to be involved with the UFC? Every time they have a fight anywhere, this guy's asking questions of the fighters like he's some kind of media guy or something. What is that all about? And then he's saying, I'm going to kill him. He got killed by this guy the last fight, Poirier. This guy's so insane. And then how about this? He talks about, he wants Oliveira next. Like, he's already looking ahead. I mean, what isn't he doing? Pacquiao, Oliveira, he's calling Khabib a wussy. Meanwhile, that was the worst beating he ever took, was Khabib. Khabib humiliated Conor McGregor. Like, Khabib made Conor McGregor his B. I mean, that was the worst ass-kicking I've ever seen in the UFC, was what Khabib did to him.
Yeah, and that was the first time I really saw Khabib use the fists. You know, it was always the wrestling and grinding guys down. You know, the only time he really punched somebody was when they're on their back and he was in the mount. You didn't really see a lot of him actually using stand up. And then Conor comes in there running his mouth as per usual, and he dropped him with the right hand. And you're like, wait a second, this guy can throw down too? Like, oh no, what's the rest of this division going to do? And of course, he got even better of it. You know, we saw when he was fighting Gaethje, the way that he was starting to pick him apart on the feet too, just to show. The guy is, the you know, one of the greatest fighters in the UFC recently and probably ever. You know, how many guys to run through that league for as long as he was there can retire with an undefeated record? Just about none. I mean, even John Jones has losses on his record now. Of course, it was a DQ, it was BS. But, you know, Fedor, when, you know, was the greatest ever to most people, has losses. Anderson Silva, like, lost the last, like, 6 years of his career. You know, it doesn't matter who you put out there, whatever name you throw out there, guys lose all the time. I mean, we're talking about the heavyweight goats and Cormier and, you know, Stipe when they fought for the third time. Both of them have losses, even just to each other. So it's just unheard of. You could do it in boxing. You pick the right guys. If you, you know, fight defensively like Floyd did. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a lot easier because of the infrequency of knockouts now in a lot of these, you know, fights with boxing. You can't do that in MMA with all the submissions, with all the injuries, with all the knockouts. And he did that. So you got to give the guy his due, whether you, you know, are a competitor of his or not.
He doesn't, because he's an asshat. He doesn't show respect. Look what he did today at the presser. He acted like a buffoon again. He started dancing around the stage and stealing Poirier's stuff off the table and throwing it into the crowd. Then he said that the Poirier win at 257 was a fluke. I mean, he got his ass handed to him. He got his ass beat. This guy is, he's absolutely schizophrenic. He's senile. He has no concept of anything. He's like insane. He never loses. Every time he loses, it's like it never happened. He just acts like he's the greatest thing that ever happened to the world, and he's never lost a fight. Meanwhile, he never wins anymore. He's so full of shack, it's coming out his ears. And his whole act at these press conferences is so childish now. It's so ridiculous. I hope this guy breaks his effing neck. I hope Poirier puts him on the ground and picks up his skull and splits it open on the mat until his brains ooze out of his head and he dies. I could care less. I can't stand this guy. I think he's a tool. I mean it. He's a tool. I hate him dead. I will never root for that dude ever. I love when he loses. It's every time, too, he loses.
Right, and he's become the bad guy. He was, you know, the bad guy that you loved before for a lot of people. Now he's just the jerk. He's a tool. Everyone can't stand him. He's, you know, some people still root for him. I never really did before, and I always thought that, not that he was overrated. He had his wins. He deserved those wins, but it was all of the stand-up. They kept tossing him guys to fight the way he won, and that's what he's trying to do with all this. All this talk about, you know, that was nothing. You can't do that again. That, oh, if you take me down, you're a B. You know, trying to kick him here. It's all the mind games, and he's always played the mind games throughout his career, and for a lot of years it worked, but it's not going to work with this guy. He's not going to get goaded. It didn't work with Khabib. It doesn't work with the top echelon fighters. Sure, you get some guy in the middle. You get some hothead that just, you know, is out there to brawl. Yeah, he's going to walk right into your fist like you want him to. That's not happening with this guy. He's too smart for that. He is. Oliveira is.
How about this, honestly? How about this guy, Dana White, letting this happen? Like, it's such an act. It's not even real. That press conference today, all this shenanigans I'm seeing of them holding him back and Dana White holding him back, and the whole time Dana White's laughing when he's doing it, it's all planned. It's all a ruse. And I'm telling you, I will not be surprised at all if the fight is completely fixed. I said this today on Coast to Coast. I put nothing past Dana White. I think he's the devil. I think he's as corrupt. You know who he is? And I loved him, but, you know, I worked for the guy for a long time, but there's no one that doesn't think he was dirty. Was Don King. I mean, I love Don. He's been on my show 5 million times. I've done 5 million fights for Don. I made money working for Don. There's no denying it, right? But you know he fixed fights, and you know he was dirty, and you know he stole money from everybody. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And that, I think that's what this guy Dana White's like. I think he's just a thief, and I think I guarantee you, I will bet my life he fixes fights. I mean, I put nothing past him, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's Don King to that level at all, but I mean, I'm telling you why he's laughing, because when he did that, when he threw out that kick, and now you see all his stories, it's another 100,000 pay-per-view buys he just got because people are like, oh, man, these guys really don't like each other. Nah, I really want to watch that fight. Everything this guy does just brings in more money for him. And as we know, Dana and the UFC keep most of it. That's why they're getting sued by, you know, fighters for the last decade about, I forget the percentage, something like 20%, I think, goes to the fighters for what the UFC makes. You know, every other league, every other pro sport, it's at least 50-50. It's not like that with the UFC. They're just cashing those checks and putting all that money in their pocket.
Oh, my God. They're making so much money, make your head spin. But I mean,
it just sounds like a $180 million deal, this, like, crypto, you know, exchange. And the fighters get none of it. It's on their uniforms, on their shorts. They get nothing.
Well, because it's a gigantic basic monopoly. They run everything. And they, you know, you hear all the time, there's about what? A handful? Is there, you can count them on two hands. You can count them on two hands, the amount of fighters that make money in the UFC. On two hands, you can count. There's no more than 10 fighters in the whole G-damn thing that make any money. The rest of them are broke. I mean, the rest of them are broke ass. They get paid nothing to fight. I mean, literally nothing. 20, 30 grand. That's it. And you got to be kidding me. When you know what I mean? Like, with the money that they make off of as many cards as they have, that they make all this money, millions, and it, don't even tell me they don't. They're worth $5 billion now. They're on ESPN. They're making more money than God, and the fighters get none of it. Every one of them's like homeless. I mean, tell it like it is, Mafia. You know it's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you see things like, you know, Stipe's still working, and we say, oh, it's crazy, he's still doing it. I mean, yeah, it is for him, but I'd say probably 50% of the guys and girls on the roster have other jobs besides fighting. And it's not until you start making a couple hundred grand that you can really stop and just train full time, because you got to pay coaches, you got to pay travel, you got to pay, you know, cornermen, all that stuff has to come out of your pocket. So, you know, you got to pay to train at these gyms. It's not just, you know, they let you train for free. They're taking a piece out of that. You got to pay your manager. So there's so much money coming out when you're making 10 grand a fight, you think is great, but for them, they get like 2 grand after that. Or when you're making 6 grand to show in these first couple of fights, you're gonna get, you're losing most of that by the time you get back to your crib.
So this game's getting very interesting in game two of the NBA Finals in the Valley. So, right, there's, I mean, it's down. It's starting to get hairy at this point. Bottom line is the Bucks have fought their way back in this game. They're only down 6. It's 103-97 right now with 4:20 left. CP3, a brick. And they get the rebound. Now let's see if Booker nails this 3. Brick. Ayton gets the rip. Now they're going to shoot another 3. Make it. So CP3 hits the 3 in the corner after they missed 2 bombs. It's 106-97 with 4 minutes to go. And a block shot at the other end by Ayton. It's Pharrell on the bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so it's a 10-point game. Suns have the pill, 53 seconds left, and Paul just threw the ball away. I can't even believe that. That was a terrible turnover. Behind the back pass to Crowder, he threw it out of bounds. He's raising his arm. It's my bad, my bad. He knows it was a terrible turnover. That was awful. Did you see that ball he just threw away? Like, what is he doing? You're up 10 with 50 seconds left, and you throw the ball away? I mean, honestly, you know what that leads to? A 3, then it's 7, and then another 3, it's 4, and they cover the number. Watch. It's 4.5 today on Coast to Coast, right? So, anyway, I got to tell you, Moff, I think Connaughton, to be honest with you, his 14-7 tonight was just huge for the Bucks. He hit 4 threes, 4 of 9 from 3, hit one other bucket. 14-7 for him, I think, is incredible, and I think he plays his ass off. Holiday did much better than the 10 the other night. He had 17. And then Middleton had a bad night. 5 of 16 from the floor, 1 of 6 from downtown, only 11 points, 11, 6, and 6. I think that's a bad game for Middleton. But the game that Giannis had, 38 points, 12 boards, 4 dimes. And I have to tell you, 11 of 18 from the line. He missed 7. But the reality is that he had 20 points in the third quarter. Only one guy's had a better quarter in NBA history, and it was Michael Jordan having a 22 spot. So Giannis coming up big in the third with 20. And in this quarter, he's doing it again. And remember, Well, first of all, they can't stop him at all. They cannot stop the guy. So the Suns cannot stop him. And then he left the game. Remember, he had his shoe off, so they were treating him. He looked like he was, banged up or whatever for a couple minutes there, unless I'm tripping. Then he comes back in the game. They give him the ball, and here he is just dealing and dunking. They cannot stop this guy. He's got 40 points now, and he's doing whatever the F he wants. And I got to tell you, when I see that, what I see, now this is a huge shot, and he turns it down and doesn't shoot it. 33 seconds left, they're going to get the foul on Giannis or Connaughton, probably Giannis. But here's the deal. I think that what this is showing me is, even though they're only up 8, the Suns, right now with 33 seconds left, right? And that if they win this game, the Suns, if they close this out and win, they're up 2-0, and everybody's going to say the finals is over. And you and I both know that they were down 2-0 to Brooklyn, and they got it done. And they had their problems with Atlanta, and you name it. All I know is this. When he has a game like this, 40 points and 12 boards in 40 minutes, and he's 14 of 21 from the floor, and he's had all these flush dunks and a 20-point third quarter, that's all I need to know. I swear to God, Moff, that they're going to win in Milwaukee. I mean, they can't stop this guy in Phoenix. You got to remember, he just had another bucket. He's got 42 right at the rim. He could have dunked it. He just rolled it, finger rolled it in. All I know is this guy has scored at will. They cannot stop him in the Valley. And game one, he played with a hyperextended knee that he had been out of the lineup for several days. He had been injured. He was doubtful, then questionable, then game time decision, then he played. He still had a good game, 20 and 17. And he did that on a bad knee. And tonight he's 42 points, 15 of 22 from the floor, and 12 rebounds. This guy is going to do whatever the F he wants in Milwaukee. They will get back in this series in Milwaukee, I'm telling you. I think most people are going to think this series is over if they lose tonight. I'm telling you right now, it's not over.
Yeah, I agree with you, because they're still, in this game. Not that it's a blowout. It's not that they're like, 3-4 points down, one shot could win it. They're going to probably lose by double digits still, or, 8 or 9. But still, if you have Middleton show up at all in this game, it's completely different. And you're going to get that in Milwaukee. There's going to be at least one game, if not both, that Middleton's going to, I'm not going to say go off. I'm not going to say he's going to have the games like he did against Atlanta, but he's going to show up. He's going to have 20-something points. Because he's too good to be this bad for the whole series. So in those games when he shows up like that, if you even get, 2/3 of what you're getting from Giannis, you get a little extra from the Holiday, then yeah, they're going to be in a game and steal one, maybe take both in Milwaukee. We'll see. It just needs those guys to show up, and they're too good to not show up at all.
Explain this to me. You're down 10, now 9, but they took him out of the game. There's only 24 seconds left in the game, but they took him out when there was 33 seconds left in the game. Why in the F do you take him out of the game when he's got 42 points and he's scoring at will? Why do you take him out of the game? Explain that to me. The game, the only chance they have to win this game is with him on the floor for the duration. Now this game's over. They're going to let it tick down. They're going to call a foul again. They just can't stop fouling. It's unbelievable. I'm looking at that. That's a highlight of Saric blowing out his knee. Now, Torrey Craig's hurt his knee tonight, it looks like. They carried him out, too. So, but right now, there's 17 seconds left. It's an 8-point game. And they got Bridges at the line shooting, too. Makes the first. And, I mean, one way or the other, they're going to lose this game, the Bucks, right? And it's really down to, in 17 seconds, can they blow the cover? Can they blow the cover? Because everything's about spreads and covers to me. I don't even – winning and losing don't even matter anymore, Mafia. All I care about is the cover. Are they going to cover? Because I actually took the Suns and laid the points. I can't believe they sat him down. I mean, what is he, tired? The guy had 42. I know he had a huge game, and he played his ass off, and he played a ton of minutes. He played 40 minutes, but they pulled him out with 33 seconds left. I don't understand that. Why wouldn't you leave him on the floor to see if he can win the game? I mean, honestly.
When they're going down shooting free throw, I mean, you don't want to risk him getting hurt. He was already banged up coming into this, so maybe that's why they're figuring we're losing. Or also, we know he's not great from three. He hit one tonight, but he's one of five. You need threes to come back in this with, you know, the little time you have left. So you put your smaller guys out there to put the pressure on the ball up the court and then shoot some threes, and that's just not his game.
Yeah, but that's not what they did. They shot layups. They you're right. They went small, and every guy drove to the rim. Not one of them shot a three in the last 30 seconds. They all shot layups. Smart. Yeah, they're not smart. But that's a final now. It's two Zip Suns, and they win by 10, and they cover the 4.5 or the 5.5. So, I mean, so far I'm 3-1 in this series betting. At the very least, in terms of spreads and money lines. Because I took the Suns in game one. I took the Bucks in the spread. And this game, I went Suns and laid it. So I'm good with that. I can live with that. But you got to give him credit. That's a hell of a game. 42 points. He went off. But Booker, who I talked about today on Coast to Coast, I said, listen, this guy's my MVP of this series. I can't get off that horse. I still think he's their stud. I know they want to give it to Chris Paul. I know he's the favorite to get it. I know after game one, 32 points, they want to give it to him. But this is a series. It's not a one-game thing. And tonight, he had a good game, 23-4-8. But Booker went 31-5-6 and hit 7 3-pointers in the game. Booker was the star of the game. So after you've seen that, Mafia, you've seen Booker have a huge game. Paul, 32-point game. Booker, a 31-point game. But Booker was 7 threes tonight. And in the first game, Paul had 4 threes. Who's in the lead, in your opinion, for the MVP now?
I think it should be even. But I'm going to give the edge to CP3 right now because, you know, don't forget, this isn't just, well, this is, you know, how the stats broke out and this guy scored more and did more than this. It's a voted-on award. So you know those writers are going to have that in their head about the first finals ever, 36, what he's doing, how he made this team to a winner when they've sucked for the last 5 years. So it should be dead even, but it's still going to be slightly towards CP3 because of the narrative.
So Bridges was the difference tonight for me. 27 points for Bridges. Ayton ended up with the double-double, the 10 and 11. So he got involved. I told you, Crowder went from 1 point to 11 points. He had a double-double, 11 and 10. So the reverse of Ayton. Ayton went 10 points, 11 boards. Crowder, 11 points, 10 boards. I thought Crowder hit 3 big threes. Crowder had a great game. Across the board, Booker, Bridges, Paul, and Ayton all had solid games and numbers and stats. And now the Suns are up 2-0. On the Bucks in the NBA Finals, which will not resume now until Sunday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv. So I still think the Bucks are going to go home and win. I do. I think they're going to go home and get it done as easily because, you know, obviously everybody in Phoenix right now thinks this is over. You got all these idiots walking around going 4 because the one guy that got in a fist fight at the game in the conference finals, whatever. You know, that idiot, and he got famous off of that. All I know is they think this is over in 4. They're tripping. They're not sweeping the Bucks. Trust me, you. You're going to see what happens Sunday night in Milwaukee. And I saw that guy Giannis tonight do whatever the F he wanted, and he's going to do whatever the F he wants in Brewtown. I can guarantee you that. So all of that partying in Phoenix tonight, get it in. Get it all in. Go out and get some. Get some leg, get some booze, drink some shots and beers. In banana John beer, in banana John beer, in banana John beer, in banana John beer, puke. Go get it, because you're not going to be drinking Sunday night. I'm telling you, they're going to get it done in Milwaukee.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us.
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so Pharrell on the bench. We told you the Suns won by 10. They covered game two. They lead the finals 2-0. I'm on this Padre game now. Fam's up, two outs. 2-0 count. Tatis on deck, runner at third. They were down in this game, whatever it was, 8-0, and they crawled all the way back. It's 8-7 at Petco, sold out, big crowd. We're seeing if fan can drive in the tying run or do more damage than that even, or get Tatis up. There's two outs, though, so fam has to come through. Anyway, I told you, Mafia, I'm watching these two shows. I watched one of them already. I had never seen it before, but I finally did take the time to watch it. And I had no idea what it was like. But I watched this Netflix show, Serpent. Oh, my God. Dude, I mean, it is unbelievable. And it's a true story. That's even worse. It's a story of basically this guy and this chick. And in essence, and I'm sure here he is, fam, he drives it to dead center off the wall. The game's tied. Myers scores and he gets a double, a 2-out double in the clutch. Your boy, Tommy Pham, getting involved for the Friars. It's all happening in San Diego. I'm going out there. I'm going to see them play the lowly Rockies on the 29th. So, anyway, this guy and this chick, basically, it's so unbelievable. I don't want to ruin it for you, Mafia. I want you to watch this show. But anyone that's seen it knows that it's crazy. And I'm just like, it was one of the top movies on Netflix or whatever. I don't get into all that, like rated, which ones are the best and all this. All I do is wait for somebody or myself to fish one out, like to find a good show, right? And then, or somebody to tell me, you got to watch this. It's pretty cool. So I listen to my friends or whatever tell me this one's good, that one's good. And if I get a good review, I'll give it a try. So I watched this movie and whatever it is, like I think it's 8 episodes. 8 hours, you got to watch it. I think I could be wrong, but I think it's 8. I could be wrong. Maybe it's 16. I forget. I think it's 8, though. But a lot of the shows I watch are 2 seasons, right? There's like season 1, season 2. I think this was just 1. It's a limited series 1. It's just like 8 episodes. But it was about this guy and this chick. And bottom line is they kill people. And they rob them. And they kill them. They kill everyone they meet. And they're like Manson. They kill everyone they meet. But it's all in India, in Bombay. It's in Bangkok. It's in Hong Kong. It's in the Far East. It's all over the place. It's in France. It's in Turkey. It's in all these crazy countries, right? And it's all over the world that they go because they're on the run. They can't stay in one place for very long because they're murderers. They're killers, and they literally are chased by on this show by everyone, by embassies and by Interpol and by cops all over the world. Are looking for this guy. And it's basically the guy is he's like the Manson. He's the ringleader. And he brainwashes this chick. And they become killers. And I mean to tell you, I will not tell you how they kill. I will not tell you anything about who they kill, how they kill, or where they kill, or anything else. Other than to tell you, like, this show, and how about this? It's true. It's a true story. It actually happened. Like it's legitimately true. And it was about this guy that he was absolutely insane. He was like Jim Jones, this guy. He just every single person he came in contact with, he killed. He killed everyone. It didn't matter who you were. He killed people he liked. He killed people he didn't like. He killed everyone. He literally kills everyone. I mean, this dude is evil as all F. You got to see it to believe it. You can't. Like, when you watch it, you watch. Like, if I had my druthers, I would have watched it in 8 hours straight. It would have been over. I would have never turned it off. If I started watching it on a Saturday, I wouldn't even have left the sofa. That's how good it was. I was like, oh my God, this dude is so evil. And when you watch it, you just want to kill him because he's so evil. He is so evil. And then this chick, she turns evil. And it's just insanity. So I get done watching that. Next thing I know, I got this 34C trying to turn me on to something called Sex Life. Now, I know that this show is very controversial and very popular right now. And I saw a lot of it on news. I saw it on the, like, you know, I'm seeing this on, like, this is like one of these 50 Shades of Grey deals. It's on, like, Good Morning America. It's on the, you know, news. It's in the magazines. It's everywhere. People are talking about it. And it's basically, I'm only three episodes into it, but I got to tell you, it's basically, and I don't give away what happens. I'm just telling you, it's about this chick that she's married and has the perfect life and the filthy rich husband and a beautiful kids, just gorgeous kids, a newborn, a three-year-old, whatever, perfect life, has it all, filthy rich, loaded, has it all, vacation house, the whole deal, and a mansion they live in, got it all. And then she's still in love with some old boyfriend that she had like 10 years earlier. And she just cannot stop, like, just thinking about this guy. Like, the whole time she's married to this dude, she doesn't even love him. She just completely uses him. I mean, there's no other way around it. And then all she thinks about is this other dude. And you know it's all evolving rapidly. You know they're going to get back in a sack. I mean, that's just all there is. She's so in love with this other dude. It's like, I can't even believe she got married to someone else. I can't even believe she left the dude or whatever. I don't even know if she left him. I don't know how they broke up. All I know is these two were so steamy. And, like, the scenes, it's porno. I was watching flush porn. I mean, just automatic. It was porn. And I'm watching this. I watched two episodes. It was so porn. I was sitting there with my wife. My son was upstairs, and he's a, like, junior in high school. I'm like, he doesn't care because he's hearing all this just massive action going on in the bed or in wherever, the shower, the bed, the kitchen, the family room, the garage. I mean, it's all happening all over the place, in cars, in downtown. It's in New York City, this it's set in New York City. It's like Mafia's love life. It's like the story of Mafia. It could be Mafia. It could be anybody. It's like Mafia having an affair in New York City with all the hotties. And it'd be like Mafia doing chicks all over town, everywhere, in cabs, in his car, on a rooptop. And, you know, one time, I'll spoil one thing for you. One time, oh, don't play like you're all like Mr. Good Guy now because you're married. I mean, stop with all that. I know you're filthy. So here's the deal. He did the chick one time in the subway tracks. He like took her down into the tunnels where the train's going by him 100 miles an hour, 1 inch from their face as they're having sex. I'm sitting there going like, I'm sitting here watching this. I'm like, what is happening here? I'm like, what is happening here? Like, what is going on here? Because, like, I've had some creative moments in my life sexually, but I'm not going to sit here and I've never done it down in where the penguin lives in Batman, down in the sewers, down in the tunnels, down in the bowels of the city, like your boy, the penguin. I mean, honestly, so I'm only three episodes into it, and I'm like, I hate this chick.
Hepatitis.
This chick is so hot, it's not even funny, right? She's smoking hot. And the thing is, when I'm watching it, I'm going, I hate this chick because she's such a lying piece of shack that she's like playing this facade like she loves her family, because she doesn't. She plays like she does, but, like, can you imagine if, like, I mean, honestly, the whole time you're married or whatever, Mafia, and your wife is just thinking about some other dude the entire time, like, just has no interest in you whatsoever. She's just using you. Like, I you know, I'd end up like, you know, Bob the Butcher. they'd be taking me out in handcuffs with a butcher knife in my hand. I mean, I'm watching this thing, and I'm only three. I'm two episodes in. I'm in the third episode, 10 minutes into it. And I'm like, I'm yelling at 34C. I'm like, you like this? I go, you're like her. I'm like, you're thinking of old lovers. I go, you think this chick's cool? I was like, this chick's a piece of... I'm screaming and yelling at the TV. I'm like, I can't believe this hoe. I'm just like, what is going on here? I go from one show with a mass murderer.
Just use your money. So the woman who doesn't really love you and just uses you for your money as she thinks about other guys. Sounds like both our first marriages.
I mean, honestly, I don't know anything. I don't even know what you're talking about. But I know that I just think that I can't go from like a mass murderer to a sex movie. Like, cause now I think this is two seasons of this. And then I heard today, like I'm sitting there reading on the net or whatever. I'm on my phone. I see, you know, fans livid over the season finale to Sex Life. I'm like, I'm two episodes in and I want to jump off a bridge. I can't have it. I can't have some chick do it like the whole time. And then and meanwhile, she's at the house. Like she's still trying to get it from her husband. She's like, she still wants it every day. This chick's like as promiscuous as the 50 Shades of Grey, right? Like that whole deal where it was just nothing but nookie all day. This chick wants it all day, every day, like every way, every which way but loose. All I know is, and then like her husband is too busy, you know, so obviously she's like, well, if you don't want to have it, well, then I'll just sit here and think about my old boyfriend every day, all day. And she's like writing a novel about it. She's writing like a love book about it. Like she's like one of those, you know, love authors. She's writing like the love story. She's got the whole thing going. She's a writer or she's a teacher. She's a professor. So she's writing a book about him, the guy that she really loves. And you know they're going to hook up again. I mean, because the guy's already calling her. I haven't talked to you in 8 years. I think about you every day. I'm like, oh, God, it is on like Donkey Kong. I can't even have it. I can't even have it, Mafia. I'm all flustered now. And then she's like, well, it's his fault that he doesn't. 34C's giving me. It's the guy's fault. I'm like, this guy hasn't done anything. His wife's turning on him. She's like, it's his fault. He doesn't want it. I'm like, he ignores her. He's too busy. He's at work. And when the mouse is away, the cattle play, right? Or is it the other way around? I can't keep track of all of it, but I actually enjoyed the murder one way better. I like watching serial killers way better than chicks cheating on their husbands. Can't have it. Won't have it.
I'm surprised you said that. Weren't you into that other one for a long time, too? The one on Showtime they had about the cheating?
What was that one called?
I forget. I never watched it. But I know you watched like a couple seasons, though, and I'll look up in the break.
Yeah, you got me. I can't remember yesterday, let alone some show I used to watch.
The Affair, wasn't
it? If you can remember it. Oh, yeah, The Affair. You're right. Oh, God, that one. I watched it so long, I finally stopped watching it. I never made it to the end. I hated that chick so much. I hated both of them. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, so Mafia, the guy, it seemed like his, you know, Booker had the huge game, but the guy that they seemed to be talking to the most after that game was Ayton, and he had a nice double-double, and the key was late in that game, he made big buckets. He had a couple of buckets right at the rim. He had a lob dunk, basically, without a flush. He just dropped it down, and he also had a running transition bucket finger roll at the 10 that he put in. He also had an enormous block on the defensive end, and he stole a pass at the elbow in that fourth quarter. He did all of that in the fourth quarter, which I thought was gigantic, and I think that's why he's getting all that love. And, you know, the other night he had, whatever, 22 and 19. Tonight he had, you know, the 11 or 10 points and 11 boards, four dimes, playing with four fouls. It didn't matter that he was 4 of 10. It's that he came up big for them in the fourth quarter with the steal, the block shot, and then a couple of enormous buckets when they needed it. And the Suns win it by, a 118-108 count. They lead 2-0 in the series against the Bucks. You get Bridges with 27, Booker 31, Paul 23, and then you get the double-double from Ayton, and you get a double-double from Crowder, and Cam Johnson game 8. Craig game 6 hurt his knee, left the game. So, I mean, Giannis was an absolute freaking nature badass with 42 and 12 with 4 dimes, but it wasn't enough. They lose by 10, the Suns cover. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on a pain-free Friday coast-to-coast on Sports Grid. And then we'll do it again tomorrow night at 10 Eastern right here on Sirius 204, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, and Armed Forces Radio. Good night.